Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Good evening. My name is Doris Hansen, and it's my privilege to host this program and to welcome you to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? This is where the truth is spoken about Mormon-based polygamy without any fear or without compromise. We are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is a telephone call-in show. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We would appreciate your phone calls regarding the subject matter tonight. You can email us off the air if you would prefer to communicate that way, and our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And again, we'd like to welcome our viewers from the Boise, Nampa, Idaho area, where they can watch our show on Sunday afternoons from 4 until 5 p.m. on KCLP Channel 18 in Boise, Idaho. And of course, all of our previous shows can be watched on streaming video on our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and you can access their top questions that are asked on the show as well at whatloveisthis.tv/answers. I'd like to remind those who have been in polygamy or who are that we do have a monthly discussion group, a support group that's set up to help those who have left or are thinking of leaving. It's called Life After Polygamy, and indeed there can be abundant life after you leave a polygamy group. If your life has been touched by polygamy in any way, you're invited to come to the group, and all you need to do is email us your information. I'll email you back and give you the details of the group. We meet the third Monday of each month. Our next meeting is June 21st, and you can come either to help or to be helped. You can go to our website, www.shieldandrefuge.org, for information about how we can help you if you're in a polygamy group. Now, we want you to know that we aren't here to try and convince or force people to leave polygamy against their will. We know that there's tens of thousands of men and women that live in polygamy groups because they want to be there. And they're there because they believe that that's what they need to be. They're there because they think that Joseph Smith truly had a revelation commanding polygamy. We can't change your mind. Only discovering the truth for yourself will do that. But we do want to help the many, and I believe that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are in polygamy that feel like they're trapped there. They don't want to be there, but they want to get out, but they have fear about leaving, and they don't know quite how to do it. Some think that they don't have any hope or a happy or a safe future if they leave, and some fear that they would lose loved ones or they would be shunned, which happens quite a bit. Some fear having no help or support system if they leave, and some want to leave but they fear God's retribution if they do leave. All these situations and more is why we're here. So if you're in one of those situations, you'd like to leave and you just don't know quite how to do it, give us a call. We'll talk to you. We don't try to force anything. We'll just talk to you, answer your questions, and talk about your fears and offer you a support system. We want to help you. We can help you. So give us a call on our toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993. Just give us a call and let's just talk. You can also go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org, if you'd like to know more about us and more about the ministry and more about polygamy. And if you want to find out how to receive free resources, we have a DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, as well as a booklet entitled, Is Polygamy Biblical? And you can find out how to receive that by going to whatloveisthis.tv/offer. Next week, our guest will be from a local polygamy group, And we're going to discuss the possibility that the song entitled "I'm My Own Grandpa" could be a harsh reality, even worse, as we take a look at how twisted a polygamous family tree can really be. And we're going to discuss some horrific results from polygamy practices of incest. In April of 2008, the FLDS polygamous community of the YFC Ranch in El Dorado, Texas, became a common name worldwide when the law officers conducted a rescue operation when they went into the community, and they rescued about 450 children from an environment of potential child abuse, underage marriages, and pregnancies. As a result, the name FLDS became almost as synonymous as the mainline LDS church. Of course, this aggravated the LDS so strongly that they put up a web page specifically to protect their sanctified name from being connected with any contemporary polygamy group. On this web page, they deny any present connection with polygamy groups, and they make some interesting and misleading comparisons between early Mormon polygamy and the present-day contemporary polygamy practices. But we want you to know that despite what the mainline LDS church denies, early Mormon polygamy was just as ugly, just as inequitable, just as ungodly. It was illegal, deceitful, abusive, and oppressive to women then as it is to many women in polygamy today. The LDS attempt to sanctify their polygamy, but it only begs the question, why not be truthful once for a refreshing change? It's amazing when LDS church members call our show or they send emails condemning polygamy groups of today. And then they'll immediately turn around and in the same breath defend to the death early Mormon polygamy. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to discuss some particulars from their website, www.mormonsandpolygamy.org, and shed some light of truth on their more obvious errors and cover-ups. Now, if you go to that website, Mormonsandpolygamy.org, you will have the webpage you see there on the screen. That's the webpage that comes up. On the top it says, "Do Mormons practice polygamy?" And then it has a great big black no. And then it says below that, "Mormons and polygamy, here are the facts." And then down the left-hand side, it has 7 points of facts that they have brought out comparing early Mormon polygamy with present-day polygamy groups and how the LDS is far beyond what any of the polygamy groups are doing. So I'm going to go down each of those points. We'll only get the first 5 done. We don't have time to do all 7, but the first 5 are the most important ones anyway. And then I'll refute them point by point because they have really misled the readers of the webpage. The first point says, there are 13 million Mormons in the United States and around the world, and not one of them are in polygamy, or not one of them is a polygamist. Well, first of all, what does it matter how many members that you have? It doesn't have any bearing whatsoever on the objective of the webpage. It's just an obvious self-aggrandizing comment having nothing to do whatsoever, especially with polygamy. Now, let's clarify their denial. They said not one of these 13 million members is a polygamist. Well, how do they know that? One of 13 million, they know every single individual. It's a broad statement, and maybe it's nitpicking, but you know what? It's a misleading statement that they cannot prove. Now, actually, the LDS do practice a spiritual polygamy in their temples, and polygamy is official Mormon doctrine. It's never been removed from their scriptures. Polygamy is thought to be required practice in heaven by faithful, exalted Mormons. They do or did teach that the gods practice polygamy, and in order to become a Mormon god, you must be a polygamist. And some folks estimate that somewhere between 2 and 3% of active Mormons are also practicing polygamous, and I myself have some information that I won't bring out on the show, but I do believe that that's true, and they don't tell anyone they're polygamous for obvious reasons. Point number 2. says, Mormon is the most common and widely accepted name for a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints headquartered in Salt Lake City. Mormons have nothing whatsoever to do with the Texas sect known as FLDS or with any other polygamy group. Now, when you get on some of these points, they have a phrase or a word that you might call a hot link. You click on that, takes you a different page where there's more information about that subject. So on this particular point, there's a hot link I clicked, and it says, in the public mind, the word Mormon has come to mean something very specific. When Mormon is used to describe polygamy groups, it causes great confusion about our beliefs. Well, whether the contemporary Mormon church likes it or not, polygamy is their heritage. That's just the way it is. When the public hears the word Mormon, they think of polygamy. When they hear the word polygamy, they think of Mormon. That's no one's fault but their own. Don't blame polygamy groups. Don't blame the news media. It's your heritage. And so that's what comes to their mind. It's rather hypocritical of the LDS to accuse the FLDS and other polygamy groups of causing confusion about their beliefs. It's amazing, because the Mormon Church has exerted great effort through the decades to remake the face of Mormonism. Their own actions are the cause of confusion. Let's take a look at some examples. They have made changes in their temple ceremony. They've made changes in their garments. They've made changes in the doctrines of salvation, changes in what the fullness of the gospel consists of, changes in whether the word of wisdom is a requirement or merely a choice, changes in the first vision account. There's 9 of those. Almost 4,000 changes in the Book of Mormon, changes in polygamy, changes in the blacks in the priesthood, changes Joseph Smith made in the Bible, changes in whether the Mormons are Christians or not. Is that enough, or shall we go on? Please don't blame polygamy groups for any confusion in their minds about your religion, because you do a good enough job of that all by yourself. And all these changes are from a God whom the Mormons claim changeth not. One of the other hot leak information says polygamists and polygamist organizations are not dissident groups of the church. They're not fundamentalists. No. The polygamy groups are not dissident wings of the LDS Church. They are grandchildren of Mormonism, whom they've disowned. The Mormon Church started this polygamy and now fiercely and officially deny their own grandchildren. And as for not being fundamentalists, which is an ongoing denial by the LDS Church, we know that the Mormon Church habitually redefines certain terminology, and now we wonder if they're going to the dictionary and they're start redefine words there. But the dictionary defines fundamentalism this way. Fundamentalism is the belief in the original form of a religion or theory without accepting any later ideas. Based on this definition, the polygamist groups are Mormon fundamentalists. They believe, they live, and teach, and breathe basic Mormonism as Joseph Smith invented it, and as Brigham Young and his other original leaders taught it. And as we've said before, Mormon fundamentalists are more Mormon than the Mormons are Mormon, and isn't it the height of audacity. In fact, maybe we could call it even bullying, as they insist that polygamists are not fundamentalists, that in truth they are a perfect picture of early Mormon, when in truth they are the perfect picture of early Mormonism. Yet, Mormonism has absolutely no resemblance whatsoever to biblical Christianity, and Christians know so, and they say so, yet despite our protests, Mormons insist that they be called Christians, and they won't allow the fundamentalists to call themselves Mormons. What is wrong with this picture? Point number 3 says, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doesn't allow anyone practicing polygamy to be a member. They sure don't. That part of it is true. And if Joseph Smith or Brigham Young or John Taylor or Heber C. Kimball or Orson Pratt or Parley P. Pratt or Wilford Woodruff or Lorenzo Snow or Joseph F. Smith or all the rest were applying for membership today in the LDS Church, they would be flatly denied, they would be scorned, and turned away. Each of these men proudly practiced the polygamy that the LDS ridicule. It was as illegal then as it is today, so don't pull that card out on us. Yes, to your shame, you started it all. It was your baby to begin with. It was your Joseph Smith who gave the ultimatum, polygamy or damnation. To your shame, you have nothing to do with today's polygamy groups. You made the mess. Then you turned your backs on it. Then you condemned it. Then you ignored it, ignored the results of it. And then you slapped each other on the backs as you walked away victoriously, looking forward to the day when you can live it again. Point number four. Polygamy was part of our past for about 50 years in the 19th century, but it is not part of our present. Polygamy was officially discontinued in 1890, 118 years ago. Now, I'm reading this right straight off of the webpage here. So they say that it was officially discontinued in 1890. And if we look at the years that polygamy was actually practiced, Joseph Smith started it somewhere in 1831 or 33 or 35. There's kind of a little discrepancy there, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt and start the year at 1833. From 1833 to 1904 is 71 years. It is not about 50 years. Again, the LDS Church is grossly misrepresenting its own history. Now, even after the manifesto of 1890, the leaders not only continued to practice polygamy, but they also continued to perform polygamous marriages, not only locally, but also in Mexico and in Canada, even though polygamy was illegal in all those areas. A few facts from an article that was written by D. Michael Quinn. He said, President Joseph F. Smith's wives bore him 13 children after the manifesto, even though he publicly testified he was not cohabiting with them. Another point he made is that at least 3,300 children were born to Mormon men who married polygamously with official LDS church authority from 1890 through 1904. 3,300 children were born during those years. They're denying that here, but the facts speak for themselves. In Mormon Polygamy by Richard S. Van Wagener, he said that 11 general authorities, including Heber J. Grant, fathered 76 children by 27 plural wives during the year 1890 through 1905. And on the day the manifesto was accepted in October of 1890, Wilford Woodruff personally approved 7 new plural marriages to be performed in Mexico. But remember, it was illegal in Mexico. And the very day that it was okayed, that's what he did. But isn't lying for the Lord an acceptable pastime of this culture? Wilford Woodruff told a temple meeting of the First Presidency that due to the manifesto, men will be justified in taking concubines by sacred vows, even without a polygamous ceremony, in order to raise a righteous posterity. Well, first, taking concubines is disrespectful to the women, and it shows no concern for her or for her children's legal rights. Secondly, taking concubines with no marriage vows will produce a righteous posterity? How does that work? Since when is raising righteous children based on lies and deceit and having concubines? But that's what Wilford Woodruff said. In other words, let's break the law so that we can have righteous children as a result. Sorry to the LDS Church. Your polygamist heritage really is shameful, and that is why you want to cover it up. Point number five. When practiced by Mormons in the 19th century, polygamy was quite unlike the depictions of polygamous groups now seen on TV. For instance, a woman had freedom of choice of whom she would marry. She made her own decisions about life, education, and personal pursuits, and did not isolate herself from the world. Now, for viewers who know anything at all about the factual history of early Mormon polygamy, you know that it was a lonely life and forced upon many women just as it is today. Contrary to their claims on this webpage, most of the early Mormon women did not make their own decisions regarding marriage. They did not have freedom of choice of who or when they would marry. And if a woman turned down someone's marriage proposal, she was shunned and shamed and humiliated, and more often than not, she was forced against her will into that marriage. And then they claim that the women of those days didn't purposely isolate themselves from the world. What a joke. The Mormon polygamous pioneers purposely isolated themselves from the rest of the world when they settled in Utah. That's why they settled here. They were totally isolated, which is just what they wanted, so they could practice their polygamy unhindered. The women didn't have to isolate themselves. The men did it for them. And according to historical accounts, this isolation was the death sentence to many a Mormon polygamist woman. Just like hell, there was no way out. It is pitiful and monstrous what polygamy has done to so many Mormon women throughout history. Some notes from a hot link on the number 5 point here. The webpage continues to compare early Mormon polygamy with present-day polygamy. They said early Mormons didn't control marriage by arbitrary authority. Brigham Young didn't arrange marriages unless he was asked to. Well, that's wrong. They did control marriages. It was unlawful for anyone to contract a marriage without Brigham Young's approval. And they say here on number 2 that Brigham Young really readily arranged divorces. He sure did. He received $10 for every divorce that he okayed. He had a real racket going, and he allowed as many as 2,000 divorces during that time. And at 10 bucks a whack, that's quite a nice chunk of change. Now, on page 390 of a book that's written by Fanny Stenhouse, and it's entitled Tell It All, this is what she says about that. She said, men and women had been forced to marry one another without any respect to their affection or fitness. Many were divorced almost immediately after they were married, and these things were a matter of daily occurrence. Brigham Young, with his eye perpetually on the dollar, saw at once that quite a nice little sum could be realized by charging a fee for divorces. Nothing was charged for getting married. But if the people insisted on having a divorce, the best and certainly the most profitable thing was to make them pay for it. The prophet Brigham Young was doing quite a flourishing business in that line. Anyone could get a divorce for $10, and Brigham Young publicly joked about it in the tabernacle. There you go. He did authorize divorces, but they didn't tell the whole truth. Well, their webpage also claims that decisions of marriage were settled by consideration of the feelings of all parties. Consent of individual women was always honored in any marriage proposal. They were free to refuse offers of marriage they found unacceptable. It's unbelievable how they're fudging on the facts on this webpage. The feelings of all marriage partners were not considered. Most women were either forced, coerced, or threatened into polygamous marriages. We've talked about this on other shows where Brigham Young and others in early Mormonism referred to their women and children as their own property. And if a woman refused or resisted an offer of marriage, she did so at great personal risk. Early Mormon polygamy was a twisted, oppressive, living hell by all accounts. Let's check out some historical experiences. This is from the book Tell It All by Fanny Stenhouse, published in 1875. She wrote this during the height of the frenzy of polygamy. She was an eyewitness. She was there. She told it like she saw it. And she and her husband actually did practice polygamy for a while, so she knows what took place. On page 404 of Tell It All, she says this: the idea really is that in polygamy there are four who must give consent. The first one was Brigham Young, who must receive a revelation from the Lord stating that he approves of this proposed marriage. The second one, permission, is the first wife must give her permission, then the consent of the bride's parents, and then last of all, the girl herself is to be asked. So my question here is, why isn't the bride asked first? It's her life. And my next question is, why were the girl's parents, why did they have to give consent? She had to have been underage for that to be a requirement. And why did Brigham Young have to give his okay? He's not the mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to go through Brigham Young or Thomas Monson or he or she, anybody. We don't have to go through anybody. I don't have to go through my pastor to get any message from God, because there's only one mediator between me and God, and that's Jesus Christ, and only him, and no one else has the right to play that part. She continued that this all sounds very fair, but in the practice, it's really otherwise. Without President Young's consent, there can be no marriage at all, she said, which puts the lie to what the LDS Church claim on this webpage. Again, it's covering up the truths. Now, on page 320 and 321, she says, marrying and giving in marriage was the order of the day. It didn't matter if a man was 70 years old. According to Brother Brigham, he was still a boy. The brethren are all boys until they're 100 years old, he said, and some young girl of 16, 15, or even younger would be commanded to marry this 70-year-old boy. She might even have a sister no older than herself, and then likely as not, he would take both of them as wives and very probably marry them both on the same day. Every unmarried woman or girl could be thought old enough to marry was forced to find a husband, or a husband was immediately found for her and without any regard to her wishes was forced to marry her. Women would jokingly say during that time that if one were to hang a petticoat on a fence pole, half a dozen men would gather together to marry it. And she said, absurd as this may sound, it was not very far from the truth. During that very strange time, she says, men of 50, 60, and even 70 were marrying mere children, girls of 14 and even 13 years old. So contrary to the official statements on their webpage, women could not choose. They were forced into marriages. Contrary to official LDS statements made on their webpage, very young girls were married to very old men. That, the same way as today, as well as today, the root is directly related to the fruit. Now, I have an email here I'd like to read regarding this information from a woman by the name of Heather. She said, I find your program absolutely ridiculous. You have not done your homework. I am not for polygamy by any means, but for you to continue connecting polygamy, Mormons with polygamists is wrong. And for that matter, when the Mormons did practice in earlier times, it was for different reasons. No, it wasn't. They were not marrying 12-year-old girls. Yes, they were. I think you need to be better at checking your facts instead of bashing Mormons. We're not bashing Mormons. We are just talking Mormon history, and you can find this out for yourself. And she says, I think you will find that Mormons are Christian too. Not so. Just a little food for thought, she closes. Well, I hope I've given you a little bit of food for thought too, Heather, because based on what you've said here, it doesn't look like you've done your homework either, and we do hope and pray that you will do your homework. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. I still have a little bit more to go, but you could start calling in if you have any comments, reactions, or opinions to what we've talked about tonight. We'd like to hear your responses. Our telephone number is 801-973-8820, and I'll continue on with finishing up what I would like to make remarks on this webpage. On page 344 of the book Tell It All that we've been quoting from, Fanny Stenhouse continues with these remarks. She said, if some woman objected to polygamy on account of its crushing and degrading effects upon women, she was told in the coarse language of Brigham Young himself that, and I want to quote this, listen, "Such women had no business to complain. It was quite enough honor for them to be permitted to bear children to the priesthood." Now, you know, I really would like to hear some of our viewers' comments on Brigham Young's remarks here. He said that she had no business to complain, that it was enough honor for her to be permitted to bear children to the priesthood. What do you think of that? In reality, there is no sweet, romantic, virtuous picture of early Mormon polygamy, no matter what they say on here. And one last statement from the LDS webpage that needs to be addressed is this. Marriage, and I'm quoting, "Marriage in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is sacred and ordained of God. The family is the basic social unit in this life and in the next," end quote. Marriage is not the basic social unit in the next life. It is in this life. We would agree with that 100%. But it's not in the next life. That is heretical. That is not a biblical. In fact, I'm going to focus on that particular thing on a future show because it has nothing to do with our life in eternity. We don't doubt that marriage is sacred to the LDS people. But it is just as sacred to billions of other non-LDS people in this world. You don't have a corner of the market on that. But it does beg the question, why did the original Mormon church leaders pervert and corrupt the sanctity of marriage with the unholy doctrine of polygamy? Telling lies by omission and by redefinition of terminology is an unholy pastime of the LDS Church, and there is seemingly nothing yet that has stopped it. We wonder, why doesn't it bother those who are taking part in this systematic historical cover-ups? Don't they have any consciences? Or is the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 fulfilled in them that says this? 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." 1 John warns us to test the spirits, obviously because there are seducing spirits out there, like 1 Timothy has just warned us. And it would be a good idea to find a dictionary and to discover the definition of the word seducing, because there are seducing spirits out there lying to whomever will listen to them. Now, before we take any phone calls, we have some important information that we would like to show those in polygamy who would like help in getting out. Are you thinking of leaving your polygamous situation? Are you afraid to leave because you might lose the love of your friends and your family and perhaps even the love of God? Are you afraid you'll become destitute if you do leave? When I ran away from my fundamentalist upbringing and the polygamy environment I was raised in, I had no safe place to go, no place that I knew that I would be safe after I left. And I was so naive, I didn't know that I was exchanging one bad situation for another one. In those days, there were no organizations established to help people who needed to safely exit a polygamous environment. That's why a Shield and Refuge ministry exists today. We're here to help those who want to leave a polygamous situation safely and without fear. We do provide you with a safe refuge, and you will be shielded from those who would harm you. So if you're thinking of leaving your polygamous situation, give us a call. We're here waiting to hear from you. Our telephone number, toll-free, is 1-877-425-9993. If you have access to the internet, you can locate us at www.shieldandrefuge.org. And you can contact us immediately, day or night. We would love to help you. God has made a promise in Psalm 91:4. That he shall cover you with his feathers, and you can take refuge under his wings. And it's his truth that will be your shield. Okay, thank you. And if there's anyone out there who would like to talk about their situation, just give us a call. It's a toll-free number, 877-425-9993. Okay, we have some phone calls here waiting. We do have an off-the-air question, Justin from Pleasant Grove. Thank you, Justin. He said, keep up the good work with responding to nasty calls. Shame on them. Okay. We haven't had any nasty calls yet tonight, but anyway, thanks, Justin. Okay, line one, we have a call from Gordon in Green River, Wyoming. Hello, Gordon.
Yes.
Yes, Gordon, you are on the air. What's your question? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Gordon.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
My great-grandparents, you know, they were in polygamy way back, and I think he died about, somewhere in the 30s, and he had two homes. They were kind of like, you know, shared a driveway and a garage and two, different homes, you mm-hmm. know, two separate homes,
mm-hmm.
one for each wife. And I know, you know, since the manifesto was enacted, what happened to all those people that practiced it, the polygamy? I mean, they wouldn't have put them in jail. I mean, these are elderly people. And so are they just allowed to take care of themselves?
You mean...
Understand what I'm saying?
You mean the families that were practicing polygamy when the manifesto actually took place?
Right.
Yes, there are a lot of different things that happened. With some of them, they were abandoned. Some were totally abandoned. Others... the men just continued to live with them as if the manifesto didn't even take place. And that was one of the problems between 1890 and 1904, is that they just continued to live it. They more or less ignored it. There were those who showed some integrity and did take care of their families and didn't cohabit with them anymore. There were men who did go to jail for polygamy in those early days. That did happen too. It's just a whole mess. The whole thing was so sad.
It would have been a catch 22, you know,
yeah.
because he did take care of them,
yeah.
and kept them in separate homes. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know the activity. I mean, I'm not interested in that. But
mm-hmm.
they were elderly people, and he did take care of them.
Well,
they quit practicing. I mean, our family ended at that.
Yeah,
as far as I know, and
that's good.
My dad's family, nobody. It's just non-existent in our family.
That's good. That's good. And you're from Wyoming? Is there much polygamy up there right around you?
Originally.
You know?
Ogden, usually. Or originally.
Yeah?
Are you there?
Yes. I just wondered if you're in Wyoming, right?
Yeah, I moved here 35 years ago.
I was just wondering if there's much polygamy up there around your area.
I wouldn't know about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well,
we have seven wards in our stake here in Green River, and mm-hmm. There's pretty active LDS. So
yeah, there's quite a bit of polygamy up in Wyoming. I know that.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I have no interest in following it, but that was just my question.
Mm-hmm. It was a sad situation, and it was a difficult time, a very difficult time for them. And there were many who did show integrity, and they did what they were supposed to do, and that was good.
Right. So anyway, that was my question. And
thank you.
Thanks for answering it.
Uh-huh. You betcha. Thanks for calling. Good night.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, we have line two, Jack in Evanston, Wyoming. Hello, Jack.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, you're on the air. Have you turned your volume down on your television?
I sure did.
Okay, you're on the air. What's your question?
Well, I totally agree, these men in these compounds who take dozens of wives, 25 wives, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'll argue, this is like four.
Can you repeat that? You broke up quite a bit
number.
In your question. Hello?
I'm there.
I didn't catch your... Yeah, I'm here, but I didn't catch your question. Your voice broke up pretty badly.
I was saying that a polygamist compound, if you will, a man can have women as long as it's not in the double digits. I'd say four or five would be the max. Wouldn't you agree that if it was lower numbers, that it would be more feasible?
Joseph Smith had 34. What do you think about that? Brigham Young had 55. What do you think about that?
Many. Just a few, a handful.
You know what, Jack? You are breaking up so badly, I can't even catch your sentences. I'm going to hang up. Maybe you could call back on another line or something, but I can't catch what you're saying. Can you call back? Okay, that didn't come through very good. It sounded to me like Jack was saying that the men shouldn't have so many wives, and that's what makes it unacceptable, that just having four or five wives would be better, more manageable, and more acceptable. But polygamy isn't acceptable at all in God's economy. And the greatest complaint that we have with polygamy is that they have named it as a requirement for salvation, and that corrupts and twists what God has done and what He's brought about through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for our sins. Polygamy can never pay for our sins. Polygamy can never be good work to get us into heaven. And that's what they've done. They will often coerce people, and from the cradle they will brainwash, especially the girls, but all of the children, that polygamy is the way of life. It's become such a cultural thing now in this Intermountain West, and it has become, whether it's illegal or not, it doesn't matter. They still live it because they call it a religious right, when actually it's a legal thing at this point. It's even against the Utah Constitution that they would prohibit polygamy forever. So there's some big issues going on here, and having four or five wives is no better or no worse than having 25 or 30 wives. Okay, on line three, we have Michael in Roy. Hello, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Doris, I just had a comment for you.
Okay.
And you're such a fireball. I would love to see a debate between you and Alma Allred. When he comes on the other show, he almost makes a really good point for LDS, and I think you would be the one that could debate him properly.
Well,
if that ever comes around, I would love to see that.
Michael, that's not likely.
No,
it's not likely. I do listen to that show as often as I can whenever he's on it, and I get so frustrated with him because he takes the scripture and he just moves everything around, redefines stuff, and he doesn't acknowledge any real true translation or interpretation of the Bible. And I'm afraid that I would get too frustrated with something like that. But that, even again, that's not our focus. Our focus here is to reach the polygamists who would like to get out of polygamy and understand the true salvation plan.
I understand, and I do love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too. Bye.
All right.
Okay, line one, Mike and Roy. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, this is Mike.
Now, is this not the same Mike, is it?
No, this is a different Mike.
Well, isn't this interesting? Well, hi, Mike.
Yeah. Well, hi. Hey, I just wanted to say I've been reading up on this Mormon polygamy for at least 10 years, and you have absolutely nailed it. I mean, I've read accounts of ex-wives of Brigham Young, and I know that most Mormons would look at that and say they're heretics, but you have absolutely nailed the essence of what early Mormonism is. And I appreciate you getting the word out. I know it won't reach many faithful Mormons, but my sister just told me not too long ago, I don't even care about early polygamy.
Interesting. You know, Mike, I've heard...
It's just a story that needs to be told.
It does.
And I appreciate you getting the word out.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I've heard recently from a couple of sources, one woman said that if God himself came down and told her that polygamy was wrong, that she wouldn't believe him, that she would continue to be polygamy. And or not polygamy, but Mormon.
But that's pretty much the attitude.
It is.
It took me a long time to get my head out of Mormonism, but I think polygamy sealed the deal for me.
Good.
It's an ugly, ugly practice.
Uh-huh.
And as you said, if you want to see polygamy as it was back then, just look at the polygamists today.
It's the same. Not much difference. Have you seen the DVD Lifting the Veil of Polygamy yet?
No, I haven't. But I do want to mention that there is a I don't know if it's a documentary, a movie coming out produced by somebody that is going to detail the life of one of the wives of Brigham Young.
Well, this particular one, the one I'm talking about,
I wish I could remember the name of the movie, but it's coming out pretty soon, and it is not a flattering picture,
according
to what I've read.
Most polygamy is not flattering.
I'm glad to see this stuff coming out, and people need to know, and it's like Mitt Romney, you know, he came from polygamous, and he laughed about it, but yet, if he knew his own history, it was after Brigham Young, or not Brigham Young, I'm sorry, Wilford Woodruff, banned polygamy in the United States. His family came from people that went down to Mexico to practice polygamy,
that's right.
Just as you said.
Illegally.
And it's, you know, I just, I think, you know, in the politics of today, it's sad that people don't look at that a little bit closer.
Yeah, they do, but everything is tolerant. Everything's tolerated except Christianity. But anyway, Mike, after you left the Mormon Church, did you pursue any spiritual aspect of your life?
I've learned, because of the extreme nature of polygamy, or not polygamy, I'm sorry, the extreme nature of fanatical Mormonism I was raised in, I decided to become spiritual, but not religious. And that has worked very well for me.
I would hardly recommend you take a look at biblical Christianity. You'll be so blessed.
I do, and my mantra for today is the first four books of the New Testament, which detail the words of Christ from his own mouth, from four different accounts. They're pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. And knowing about education, they say people have to hear things three times to remember them. And the first four Gospels, they do four times the words of Christ.
They do.
And that is the way I live my life. It's very simple, very not complex at all. And it's a great way to live your life.
And Mike, Jesus said in Luke that if you don't repent, you too shall perish. So you might want to take a look at what he said.
Okay. I've repented for my mistakes many times, and I'm sure I'll do it many times over.
Well, thanks for your call. I sure do appreciate you calling in.
And thank you for putting out such a great program. You've really done your homework.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, line two. We have Bev in Utah. Okay, Bev. Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Is this Bev?
It is.
You're on the air. What is your question?
Yes, I have a question. I don't watch you too much. But the few times I've seen you, I've noticed that, let me just say, I think this is supposed to be a Christian show, but I'm not 100% because I feel like you're a judging person. And the first time I watched it, I had to turn it off because I just started crying. I thought, if this is a Christian person, why are they putting people down? Because as a Christian woman, that just breaks my heart. And today's the third day I've watched it, and, you know, everybody has their own life, and it's not for us to judge, and it just hurts me that to see somebody else judge.
Bev, are we not allowed to judge right and wrong? If we're not allowed to judge right and wrong, then we might as well throw out all our Bibles and throw out all the courts and throw out all the policemen and just, have anarchy. Can we judge right and wrong or not?
But you're not a judge.
But we have the right to judge. We have
keep our way. I stay away from things I think is wrong. But I'm not going to judge other people for doing things.
So if your child was molested, you're going to stay away from judging that?
Children, and it just breaks my heart that I see this, and if
Bev,
looking at you right now, you can see the anger.
Oh, it hurts me. Good night, Bev. Understand. It was nice talking with you. Okay, Bev, of course, is like some of the others that call in. They won't let me ask them questions or try to pin them down on why they're making these judgmental phone calls on me. And I would like to have someone call in and tell me where my anger is showing, like she said, because all I'm here is to bring out the truth, like our caller in Ogden just said, that I'm bringing out the truth of historical Mormon polygamy where they had lied on their webpage. And if there's one thing that I've said that isn't true, do your homework and give me a call or email me, and I'll admit it. If I've said something that isn't true after you've done your homework to prove it, I'll be happy to find out what that is. Okay, we have an off-the-air question. Alan said, what is the suicide rate of polygamy groups? I don't know. I have no idea. Of people in polygamy, I think that you're trying to say. I do know that there are some difficulties with people inside polygamy groups, but I have no idea what the suicide rate is. If anyone has that information, it would be very interesting to get it if you want to send it to me, or maybe I'll have to do some research and find it myself. Okay, we have line one, Cindy in West Jordan. Hello, Cindy.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, Cindy.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in and comment on your program here, and thank you for informing all of us about, you know, the Mormonism and all of that stuff. But most of all, I just wanted to thank you for kind of just building my testimony a little bit more with this, that indeed in the latter days that Satan and his followers will definitely lead you away from the true Church of Christ. So,
and what's the true Church of Christ?
Well, it's most definitely the LDS religion.
It is, huh?
But I sincerely just wanted to thank you because it really has helped me.
It's helped you follow the Church of the True Church.
Yeah, it's helped me, you know, come to understand the true Church of Christ.
Uh huh.
That it will, you know, that it's definitely validation. That how there'll always be so much controversy about the wrong church.
So is it correct, Cindy, for the early Mormon polygamy, the way they lived that particular brand of religion, was that right in your eyes?
Well, I'm not really at the level to be able to defend or argue any points, and that's not really the purpose of my call. My purpose of my call was to truly thank you for helping me to validate my testimony, and just it's kind of given me a stronger...
Well, that's great, Cindy. I do hope that you'll take the opportunity sometime to start doing your own research, and that you will start to look for the truth and be a truth seeker and not just sit in the pews and warm them up thinking that you've got the truth when you haven't even searched it out for yourself. But thank you for your phone call as well. Okay, line two, we have Floor in Salt Lake City. Hello, Floor.
Yes?
You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is the first time that I am listening at your show, and I'm sorry I have an accent. I hope you can understand me and everybody else can understand my accent. It's very interesting. I want to tell you that I am so sorry listening at you for all the pain that you went through. And I don't have any doubt that you are trying to help other women. However, I want to tell you that we have something in common. I am Mormon. I love the church. And we have something in common. We do not believe in polygamy. So there is something wrong here. There is a gap in the information. I don't know how can we... I don't know how to explain this. How can we solve this gap? Because definitely, listening to you, I know you're trying to help too many women who are going through this, but we Mormons, we do not practice polygamy.
Oh, we know that. Nobody said you did, but you did in the past. But Flora, I'd like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you made the remark tonight, and I hear it from virtually every single Mormon or person from a polygamy group, they say, I love the church. But when you talk to a Christian, they'll say, I love Jesus. What's the difference here? There's a big difference going on here. Why do you love the church? That's just a man-made institution. Why don't we hear people say, I love God? Or I love Jesus?
We love the Church of Jesus Christ.
You said you love the church.
No, it's
you're not supposed to love a church. You're supposed to love God.
I personally love Jesus Christ probably as much as you do. I don't want to disregard your love for him. What I am saying is I'm listening at you.
Yeah, I understand that.
For I can see that you're trying to help women who definitely still today are living this nightmare, because definitely this is a nightmare. But what I am saying also is the Mormons do not believe in polygamy. So this is false. We do not believe in polygamy.
Then take it out of your Doctrine and Covenants. If you don't believe in it, remove it from your scriptures. If you don't believe it, come out and literally say so publicly. If you don't believe it, stop doing polygamous marriages in the temple.
We don't do polygamy. Some people may do polygamy and this is a syndrome, but we do not do
well,
it.
Well, Flor, we've
Mormons don't do it.
We've talked enough.
I don't want to argue with you because, as I said before, I know by listening to you, then you're trying to help women who definitely are going through the nightmare.
We're trying to help people search for the truth as well.
Mormon practice. That's it.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I want to say.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you and good night. Whoa, boy, I'll tell you, we stirred up a hornet's nest tonight, didn't we? But we're just here to tell the truth. There's nothing that I've said tonight that I didn't get from historical documents on early Mormon polygamy. They lived it. And now they want to pull themselves away from it with their sanctified look that we don't believe in polygamy, but you started it. And so, we do want to help people that are in polygamy groups. That is our purpose. But we want to help people understand you need to check things out. Why do you believe what you believe? Why don't you love God as much as you love your church? Now, it's time to close the show tonight. I want to thank you all for watching and also for those who called in and participated in the program by telephone. My closing comments tonight is again about the truth. And when a person hears the truth and they don't like what they hear, they often will respond in intense anger. We've seen some of that come through tonight, although we've had much more intense anger calls than that in the past. But they feel threatened that someone would dare to challenge what they've been taught all their life is truth, and they refuse to believe that what they've been taught isn't the truth. And so they get angry. But why? What does truth have to fear if you've got the truth? When you lose, if you have the truth, what have you got to lose? You don't have anything to lose at all, because truth cannot be threatened. Our knowledge of what's true and will undergo changes as we learn and grow in understanding, but truth itself won't change. God not only invites us to test for the truth, but He commands it. The truth is powerful. The truth can change people, but people cannot change the truth. And because God deals only with the truth, you can trust everything He's ever said and anything He's ever promised, going clear back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And this applies to His plan of salvation. He's always saved the souls of sinners the same way throughout history, and that's always with no works of any kind, no polygamy, but by grace and grace alone. We're all sinners. We need a Savior. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and after He was dead in the grave for 3 days, He came out of the grave. That makes Him and Him alone our Savior. If your good works could help to save you, then you would be your own Savior, and that is impossible. Psalm 119:43 says, "I will choose the truth." So be a truth chooser. And we thank you for watching. We'll see you next week. Good.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.